One of my favorite books is a short story by Stephen King called The Body. Many of you probably are more familiar with its film adaptation called Stand By Me. It is a story about four adolescent boys who set out on an adventure to find a fellow schoolmate who is missing and presumed dead. Although the premise of the story is morbid, it is the content of the movie that just really resonates with me. The relationship between these four 12-year-old boys, their jokes, the things they find humorous, the way they pick on each other, and just the topics of their discussion. I watch that movie and I think, man, that could have been about me and my friends. On their adventure, as they're walking down a railroad tracks, the boys get into a philosophical discussion that only 12-year-old boys have. One of the boys, Vern, asks another boy, Teddy, "Do you think that Mighty Mouse can beat up Superman?" To which Teddy replies, "What, are you cracked?" And Vern says, no, listen, I saw him on TV the other day. He was holding 5 elephants in the palm of his hand. Teddy says, "Boy, you don't know nothing. Mighty Mouse is a cartoon. Superman is a real guy. There is no way a cartoon can beat up a real guy." And Vern relents, "I guess you're right. It'd be a good fight, though." Superman, faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Pretty impressive, right? A true man of power and might. And then there's Mighty Mouse. "Here I come to save the day," able to crush meteors and hold 5 elephants in the palm of his hand. Today we continue our sermon series as we look at the titles given to the Messiah found in Isaiah 9:6. Last week we discussed what it means for Jesus to be our wonderful counselor. And today we will look at Mighty God. The Hebrew word for mighty is gibor, and like last week's word, pele means more than just wonderful. Gibor means, it goes beyond mighty. Gibor is used 40 times in the Old Testament, and every single time it is translated into English as mighty. However, mighty only implies size and strength. According to the dictionary, mighty is possessing great or impressive power and strength and or size. But our English definition fails to capture the full understanding of gibor, which means champion or hero, of which the most important characteristics aren't size and strength, but courage, self-sacrifice, and moral superiority. When it comes to being a champion or hero, size and strength become less important qualities. Now, Samson, he was big, he was strong, he was powerful, he was mighty. But I think about Elijah. He wasn't a big man, and yet he slew 850 priests of Baal. He was the champion. Consider David. Was David mighty? No. Goliath was, considered mighty, but not David. However, David was gibor. He was the hero. He was the champion. But who was the true hero in all of these events? Who gave the power and courage to Elijah and David to do the impossible things they did? God. And by translating gibor, or hero, from its true Hebrew meaning to just mighty, reduces our understanding of God to less than who He is. For God isn't just mighty. He isn't just strong and powerful. God is above all. He is completely righteous. He is morally superior to all. Other gods claim to be mighty, Baal was said to be a mighty god. Marduk was said to be a mighty god. Ra, the Egyptian god, was said to be mighty. And that's what the plagues were all about. The 10 plagues attacked one of Egypt's gods. And God was saying, I am doing this, so if you are a god, then stop me. Yahweh was the mighty God who incarnated. He became flesh, human, in the person of Jesus, the Messiah. Why? Because the world didn't need another mighty warrior. The world needed a hero, a champion. If we understand that Jesus is the mighty God in human flesh, then everything else makes sense. If Jesus is the mighty God, then of course he can turn water to wine and multiply bread and fish. If Jesus is the mighty God, then of course he can calm the storm and walk on water. If Jesus is the mighty God, then of course he can heal the sick and cast out demons and raise the dead to life. If Jesus is the mighty God, then of course he can take on the sin of the world and offer us forgiveness. If Jesus is the mighty God, then of course he can defeat death and the grave through death by crucifixion and resurrecting to life. For he is our hero, the mighty God. Amen? Moreover, our mighty God freely chose to humble himself and be born unto us. The child we celebrate is God in human flesh. God allowed himself to experience everything that we experience. He was tested in everything, and yet our hero did not succumb. He did not sin because he was, still is, and always will be mighty God. When Isaiah spoke of this hope, the Assyrian army was preparing to invade Israel. The supreme Assyrian god was Asher. But Isaiah was saying the one and only true God was going to show them that he is the mighty God. And unbelievably, he was going to do it with a baby. What could be more impossibly miraculous than defeating the evil of the world with a meek and tiny baby? 700 years later, that baby would strike fear into the heart of King Herod. And if God can do all of this, then he truly is mighty God. Think about all the turmoil and the tension and the chaos that our country is witnessing and experiencing today, caused by all these rival protesting groups. Now, don't get me wrong. People have the right to their opinion, and they have a right to march and protest. But that right, constitutionally given, is the right to peaceful protest, which many times they have been anything but. And that's true on all sides of this. I picture the violence and destruction and the loss of life in Minneapolis, Portland, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Louisville, Kenosha. As a matter of fact, all 50 states have experienced some form of violent protest. All over the world, there are wars and threats of war. Currently, as we speak, there are 40 conflicts going on right now. All over the world, people are protesting. In Britain, France, Germany, Italy, Russia, Japan, China, Brazil, Venezuela, and we could go on and on. People are anxious. People are angry. People are fearful. Seems like not much has changed from the days of Isaiah. And God's solution to fix all of this is to set a baby down in the midst of it all. But not just any baby, but mighty God wrapped in human flesh. Imagine the incredible strength within this child, the awesome power that spoke all that is into being, compressed in such a small body. If it were to be unleashed, to go off, it would destroy the entirety of the universe just as it created it. But it won't. It won't. Mighty God could have done that after humanity fell from grace in the Garden of Eden, but he didn't. Mighty God could have destroyed all things in the day of Noah, but he didn't. Mighty God could have wiped us from the face of the earth multiple times as his people moved against him and toward the other gods. Mighty God, in the form of Jesus, could have called down the armies of heaven from the cross and obliterated all of creation. But he didn't. For while that certainly would have been an awesome display of strength and power, the true might of God was and still is shown in his restraint, his resistance to the urge to hate and destroy instead of to love, and instead to love and redeem. Do you understand the strength and power and might it takes to withhold and rein in the desire to release pent-up disappointment and anger and frustration and just annihilate that which causes so much heartache and pain? But God doesn't, because he is more than just mighty as we know might. God is morally superior to anyone, and he is self-sacrificing. For God does not wish for anyone to perish, but that all would come to faith, repent, and be saved. You see, all of the violent problems in the world that we see today are because humanity still hasn't figured out that the true power, that true might, isn't found in force and destruction. No, true power, true might is displayed in restraint and in showing mercy and grace. Oh, it's easy to crush and destroy your adversary when you are bigger, when you are stronger. But true power and might is in one's resolve to love instead of hate, to offer mercy and grace rather than to conquer and destroy. And that's what God has done and continues to do since he first created us out of the dust of the earth. We are but jars of clay in the powerful hands of mighty God. When we develop a defect or a blemish, sin, God could so easily just crush us and just start over. But he doesn't. Instead, he chooses to love us, cracks and all, and he works to repair us and to reshape us into God's perfect image that is now blemished by the marks of our sin. However, because of not only God's power and might, but also because of his moral superiority, his righteousness, and his sacrifice, one day we will be completely restored into his perfect image. Why? Because during a dark and terrible time in human history, God, in his perfect timing, left his throne in glory and overshadowed a young faithful girl named Mary and was born in a dirty stable and laid in hay. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Mighty God. Mighty God, our champion, our hero. My friends, choose this day whom you will serve. Amen. Amen. One of the ways mighty God, our mighty God, showed his display of might, power, strength, but also, more importantly, his love and grace and mercy was through the cross and self-sacrifice. Today we will remember that and all that he has done for us and the hope he gives us for that second advent, that time when he returns and restores all things. Will you join me in the great Thanksgiving?